91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Some approach the Black Friday shopping deluge with fervent relish, others with outright horror. Now, to help nurture employee family life, some chains are even open Thanksgiving Day. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. We'll spend some time this hour with South Florida Sun Sentinel consumer queen and prolific blogger Doreen Christensen. She gives tips for this important fourth quarter of holiday shopping. And more, Linda Gastenheimer with award-winning chef Elgin Woodman. If one of Miami's most experienced high-end caterers doesn't have advice to feed a crowd, who would? Oh, around nap time Thursday, look for the traditional menu of Cowboys Against the Lions on TV. Stay tuned. Topical Currents up next after the news. And 6 minutes, 30 seconds past 1 o'clock. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman with you on this Thursday afternoon. So this hour, we begin with shrewd shopper tips with consumer queen Doreen Christensen. She writes the award-winning Shop-O-Matic Savings blog and produces the Doreen's Deals video series for the South Florida Sun Sentinel.
She must be bursting with shopping energy.
I can see it. She is.
She is. She almost couldn't get it. She was out there shopping. Of course, we have the Super Bowl, of shopping season upon us, including next week's frenzied Black Friday. Hitting the store is not recommended for the weak of heart or the impatient. Welcome back, Doreen.
Thank you very much, Bonnie.
Good to have you. Am I imagining it or... Is Christmas beginning earlier every year? The decorations, the packaging, the Christmas carols, are they starting earlier than they used to?
It seems this year that they did get an earlier start than normal. One of the things I mentioned in my Sunday column was that the pre-Black Friday sale seemed to be the new trend this year.
I even had the Salvation Army ringing the bell last weekend at my Publix in Miami Lakes.
Okay, so the question is, if we're supposed to get into the spending frame of mind earlier, is it working?
It is working. People are spending. Mm. And actually, the economy is showing very strong signs of recovery. This year, the Florida Retail Federation says that consumers will spend on average $805, which is the highest in the 14-year history of the National Retail Federation survey.
And what has it been in the past?
It was about $3 less last year.
Oh, okay.
So for the consumer, though, I know if you're buying a lot, it's worth it. But for the average consumer, is going to Black Friday really worth the effort when you have traffic backed up on the ramps of the expressways?
It depends. I mean, there are really fabulous bargains to be had on Thanksgiving Day, which, you know, a lot of retailers open at, Penny's is opening at 3 p.m. this year. Most retailers, major retailers, are opening at 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving. And the offers are running all the way through Cyber Monday.
Does it backfire, just the politics of making employees work on Thanksgiving when they're supposed to be with their families? Does that not backfire for stores?
Well, I think the issue happens to be that if you want to shop, it's available. If you don't want to shop, you don't have to.
But what about the employees I'm thinking of? I mean, are they required? Is it mandatory that they work or is it optional?
I think that they're pretty well staffed on Thanksgiving Day. So I'm going to say, you know, there's a lot of retail workers that have to leave their Thanksgiving tables and go to work. But on the same token, there's a lot of people who complain about Thursday shopping who actually finish the meal, push back from the table, and head out to the mall. So Ooh. It's hard to get a read on actually how many people, you know, actually complain about Thursday openings and who stays home and who actually goes out to get the deals, because people do go out in mass on Thursday.
Really? I guess it's good exercise after that big meal.
Well, if you eat a little bit early, you know, you're all set for the one, you know, for the 6 p.m. openings.
I'd rather nap than go shopping.
And football.
And
there's
football.
The football issue.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely. But there are deals to be had all the way through. I mean, Retailers recognize that a lot of people do not want to go out on the holiday, so they offer traditional Black Friday deals the next day. They offer special deals on Saturday, which is Small Business Saturday, and all the way through the weekend. And of course, Cyber Monday this year is expected to be the largest Cyber Monday ever.
How do pre-Black Friday prices compare to actual Black Friday prices? Because I went to Amazon, or they came to me, and they said that their pre-Black Friday prices are the lowest on many things, including electronics, clothing, jewelry. So does that mean it won't be lower on Black Friday or Cyber Monday?
Well, that depends. Now, Amazon kind of got an early start this year with a pre-Black Friday sale. They're actually kicking off their Black Friday deals, their lightning deals that are very popular, tomorrow. And they're going to be offering those deals every 5 minutes. They're in limited quantity on Amazon.com through Thanksgiving and Black Friday. So there was the pre-Black Friday sale, and then there's the real Black Friday sale. So one of the things that I noticed was I was looking at a roasting pan for my Thanksgiving turkey. The lowest price that I could get it at the pre-Black Friday sale at Macy's was $24.99. I did some research and I discovered that I could get the same pan on Thanksgiving Day for Black Friday deals for $19.99. So I could save an extra $5 if I want to tromp out.
But you won't have
it
for your Thanksgiving meal.
That's true. I would not have it.
You will next year.
Right. I won't have it to put in the oven. But so that gives you sort of an idea of the price differential.
Well, will stores honor, or retailers, or what, Amazon, whoever it be, if some of the prices are lower after, and you get it, will they go back and give you that $5?
No.
They
most
won't.
Of those doorbuster deals that are offered on Thanksgiving Day and Black Friday are just good on those days. Okay. And you can't use coupons.
And while supplies last.
Right. And it's definitely while supplies last. So the other thing, though, that I wanted to mention was Target this year. Several retailers, first of all, are offering free shipping. Best Buy and Target got a jump on free shipping, which tends to be, you know, a deal maker with consumers who are buying gifts online. You can save more money there. But Target also has expanded its price match policy to include 30 online retailers. So Target is so confident that it's going to offer you the best price that it says if you find a lower advertised price, either locally or nationally or even online on the web, you can bring it in and they will refund the money right there at the service desk.
Would that include Amazon?
That does include Amazon and Best Buy and most big box retailers.
Huh. Boy, they, I guess, have a lot of certainty that they have the lowest price, I would
think. And even if they don't, they're willing to give you the difference. So you don't even have to return the item. You just show it to them with your receipt during the period, which is through the holiday shopping season, and they'll give you the money right back right there at the service desk.
Doreen Christensen, how do you stay up to date on all these coupons and the deals on the blogs? And
well,
seem to know
that's what she does.
This is my Super Bowl, as you mentioned, Bonnie. So, yes, I spend a lot of time combing the internet, combing advertisements, you know, looking around, shopping in stores. I went to Westfield Broward Mall about 2 weeks ago, which I wrote about in my column on Sunday. Business was booming. They were offering doorbuster deals just like on Black Friday, and people were lining up to buy the stuff. And that was interesting because I think a lot of shoppers like the selection that you can find if you start a little bit early. You know, there may be some lines. There were great coupon offers, and they figure, well, if it costs me, you know, $3 or $5 more or whatever, I'm willing to pay to have this finished, have this chore done, and they're confident that they're getting a good offer.
If you had to say who has the best coupons and deals, which entities, be it a store or an online site, and which have the worst, could you say that?
I certainly could tell you who has the best deals.
Okay.
I've got the best deals on my Shop-O-Matic blog on sunsentinel.com.
Okay.
But another way that you can absolutely be sure that you're getting the best deals is to buy the Thursday Sun Sentinel. It weighs in at about 5 pounds. It's got so many ads, it would just blow your mind. And a lot of the retailers are offering exclusive coupons in their ads that are only available in the newspaper. So you can't even go online and get the coupons. So if you get the coupons and you clip them and you start drawing up your battle plan on the stores you're going to go to, whatever day you're planning on shopping, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, whatever, You clip your coupons, you draw up a battle plan, and you head out to the store. But the first thing you have to do is sit down and see who's offering what and at the best deal.
And please don't bring expired coupons and get ahead of me in the line, please. Would you do that?
I make it a point to never do that.
Oh, I bet. I bet you're the person that has everyone behind you is saying, oh, no.
Well, I save so much money at Publix, they actually close the line and give me a dedicated clerk so I can save. That is a true story.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, speaking of Publix, you say that you have a whole article, or I guess it was your blog, Why We Love Publix. Mm-hmm. I guess it's now 1 month into its 86th year, which surprised me. So it's ranked as one of the top three supermarkets in the country. What's that based on?
Those are based on many private consumer surveys and retail surveys. Consumer Reports in April ranked Publix one of the top grocery chains, one of the top five grocery chains in the country. And you know, a lot of people think that there's, you know, that Publix is expensive, it's this, it's that, but there is no way you can beat the BOGOs, which are buy one, get one free offers, and the customer service and the satisfaction you get when shopping at that grocery chain.
Well, let me ask you this about Publix, and Joe, I guess we've talked about this. Publix varies tremendously.
The ones in Atlanta are much bigger and nicer.
And the ones some in Miami are much bigger and nicer. It's not just the size, it's the products that they offer, the layouts. It is the size, the ease of parking, the ease of accessing the store. Many of them are upstairs now. The parking is downstairs, or the store is downstairs, the parking is upstairs. So they vary so widely. So I'm wondering how, you know, because it's so inconsistent, how they can rank it just as Publix.
Well, I think that the idea is as, you know, the chain expands and builds new buildings, obviously, you know, in a compact area, you know, metropolitan area right. like Miami, space goes at a premium. So you got to get creative. So that's why you're seeing buildings with, you know, upstairs parking and all these cart elevators and things like that. But the chain is very consistent. So I kind of disagree with you there.
Okay.
I think that
I was on their website today, and I noticed that in about 12 areas of the country, they have these great cooking schools, none in either Broward or Miami-Dade County. I was wondering why that would be.
No, they do have apron cooking schools, actually. They have
they
one in Plantation.
They were listed on the website.
Really? Because there's one in Plantation.
Huh.
There's a Greenwise Market that also is it offers organics in Boca Raton. And in each store, actually, they have Greenwise and Aprons people preparing recipes,
yeah.
offer recipe
right.
cards and things like that. So they definitely try to make it easy to show you how to pull together quick and easy meals, you know, with those little kiosks where they actually give you an opportunity to taste the food and they give you a shopping list of ingredients. So
yeah.
Just to clarify, I don't mean that they're inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
Their customer service is
mm-hmm.
first rate. So
mm-hmm.
that
absolutely.
I'm talking about the store, the layout, the parking in some of them, and that's but not the store itself.
Okay. Well, I think that's definitely an issue of, you know, logistics in communities where space is tight.
There's no right. room.
That's true.
We're speaking with Doreen Christensen. She's an award-winning senior columnist covering consumer, lifestyle, and entertainment topics for the print and digital editions of the South Florida Sun Sentinel. And she's never paid full price for anything. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Thursday's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, and Doreen Christensen from the Florida Sun Sentinel. She writes award-winning Shop-O-Matic Savings Blog, the Shop-O-Matic Savings Blog, and produces Doreen's Deals. It's a Sun Sentinel Originals video series airing weekly on sunsentinel.com and hulu.com.
Well, let's move from Publix to something I was interested in, Doreen, was your top 10 retail...
Yes.
Fails. And boy, I agree with some of that. Cover some of those.
Okay, well, you know, there
things that are done wrong, in your opinion.
It's interesting because the number one thing that retailers do wrong is bad customer service. They either argue with the customer, they go in, they say, no, you can't do this, you can't return that, I'm sorry, this is broken, you're going to have to return it to the company. Whatever excuse you get when you're trying to do a transaction with a store, if you have a receipt, obviously, because this time of year, there's, you know, fraud is a big issue. So you have to make sure you have receipts to do returns or exchanges, or if there's something wrong with the item, obviously. So save those receipts. But I think, to me, as a customer, the number one thing that I'm looking for when I go to a store is good customer service, clean stores, friendly employees, nice layout, good selection of merchandise.
What about, you say that the pressure to buy protection plans is one of your pet peeves, but isn't that sometimes in the best interests of us?
Well, generally manufacturers offer protection as a warranty with the item that you buy. So yes, protection plans generally are a bad idea, only because you end up paying, you know, maybe say you're buying an electronic device, you pay 25% for a replacement. You may not even keep the policy handy. You may not remember where it is. You don't know how to redeem it. Then you go to redeem it, and you got to mail it back. But there's high pressure tactics at a lot of electronic stores to sell those to you. But generally, Consumer Reports tells you not to buy those protection plans.
Now, you pointed out something that I've always found, but I never really had the guts to admit it, is I always feel so stupid at those self-serve checkout lanes.
And
it seems like every time I use it, somebody has to come over anyway, so they could have been there in the first place.
I agree with you, because that is one, that was a huge pet peeve of mine in that column that I wrote. And frankly, I'm very technically savvy, and I've had trouble at those kiosks. And I always seem to be the one with the flashing light.
And what are some other, there were some other good pet peeves you had.
Pay shopping carts.
Oh, I didn't have one.
Oh, that's the deal like that you find at Aldi, which happens to be a grocery chain that I adore. You put a quarter in, you got to get your card out so that they ensure that you return the cart to get your quarter back. And apparently, people are not willing.
If you're going to steal a cart, what's a quarter?
It's not about stealing the cart. It's about not having to send a person out to collect the carts. And apparently it works, because people want that quarter back. They do not want to leave that quarter in the cart.
And what about the other thing you wrote about was the poles?
Yeah, well, that's like when you go to Ross, you know, you got this big hulking purchase. You know, there's the giant pole. I want to like do a wheelie on the cart and slip the cart out the door so I can get my big purchases out to the trunk.
Yeah, right.
I was interested in one of your columns about upgrading a smartphone, and that now they're getting so expensive that they're really offering regularly financing on these deals to get a new phone.
Well, actually, the financing deals that you can get on smartphones right now are, they're a way to spread out the cost of the smartphone, which can be anywhere from $500 to $1,000. But it also gives you the option of not signing a two-year contract. And a lot of smartphone providers like AT&T and Verizon are moving away from two-year agreements on smartphones, which are subsidized. Generally, you're paying for the price of the phone in the service. So what they've done is they've lowered the price of the service, and you pay a monthly fee on your bill for the phone, which, you know, can last from anywhere from 12 to 24 or 30 months, depending on, you know, how low you want the payment to be. And then at the end of that term, you own the phone. You're not tied to any particular cell phone provider. You can go your merry way.
So it's not financing with interest.
It's not. They are interest free. They also have leasing options now, where that allows you, just like you agree to pay, say, $20 or $25 a month for a smartphone, and you get the newest smartphone that comes out every 12 months.
Okay, let's move on to money-saving websites and blogs, because this is a big deal, and there are lots of them, and some you recommend very highly. What are they?
Okay, well, this actually is a good topic for right now for online shopping, which a lot of us are going to be doing. Online shopping is booming, expected to be, you know, the largest ever. One of the sites that I really like is a site called Ebates.com. And that allows you to get a portion of your online purchase back as a rebate. And the site offers almost $1,800 partner retailers. So you can go in, you say you want to buy something from Macy's, you buy a $100 purchase, and they give you, say, 3 or 8% back. And then that's deposited into an account, and you collect it as you go. You use these shopping portals to make your purchase, so you have to select the stores through the portal.
Okay.
And then it deposits it into an account, and then you can just say, send me a check. So if you spend $1,000, you know, you can get something back, and then you can use that check you get to buy something for yourself, which is what I would do, or you can use it to fund a future purchase.
Okay, so it's called Ebates.com.
Ebates.com, and they offer $10 for joining. So you can use that in one of the online retail shops or the Macy's or Home Depot or wherever.
Ebates, B-A-I-T-S.
E-B-A-T-E-S.
V-A-T-E-S.
V-A-T-E-S.com.
Okay. Ebates. Okay, go ahead.
Another terrific website that actually you should download the app right now is RetailMeNot. RetailMeNot.com is a coupon site that has a lot of scannable, thousands and thousands of scannable coupons that you can just search for and present right at the register. So my suggestion is go ahead and download that app right now, have it on your smartphone. You open it up, you search if you're at Macy's or if you're at JCPenney's or you're at Sports Authority. It gives you an offer of, you know, 15% off or $10 off or whatever. You show it to the cashier, she scans it, and boom, money in your pocket.
Okay, another one.
Okay, another savings website that I really like, too, is DealsPlus.com. This is like a basically an online community of people who post deals within the site on bargains that they find, coupons, coupon codes, free shipping, freebies, you know, savings on everything from travel to electronics to you name it. You can find it. There's 7 million people that use the site. And it's I highly recommend it. I love that site.
Okay, say the name of it again.
It's DealsPlus.com, DealsPlus.com.
Okay.
How about loyalty plans? It seems like whenever you go to CVS or Walgreens, they're pushing that card on you. I tried it at CVS, and it just seemed like it was more trouble than it was worth of saving the receipts. And
well, loyalty programs and programs like CVS offers or Winn-Dixie or some of the other retailers are absolutely worth your time and effort, because you join, you scan the card, and you get special prices that are not available to you if you don't use the card. So something could be $5 and you could get 2 for $5 with the card, or you can get $2 off, or at CVS you get something called Extra Care Bucks, which actually prints out coupons at the register that you use on your next purchase.
And sometimes it's just money.
I'm not a smart enough shopper.
Well, the thing is, when that coupon prints out, you turn right around, you go grab something, and you use it right then and there. You know, you go back to the register. That's what I suggest you do. Okay. Don't put it in the bag and go home, because you won't redeem it.
Okay, tell us about this. You said cutting the cable cord saves $1,000 a year, and you did it last month. Was it worth it?
Oh, it was. I called Comcast because I was obviously looking into ways to save. And I called and told them that I wanted to cancel my cable because I was willing to go with an HDTV antenna that I stick to the window. I had tested it out in our bedroom, and I felt it was adequate.
So you get the local stations.
So you get all your local stations, but you also get a ton of HDTV stations. So I got 70 stations right off the bat. My husband was less inclined to.
Plus, you could have the Amazon Fire box or something like that.
Well, yes, I also have an Apple TV box and an Amazon Fire Stick, so I can stream Netflix and other things. So my TV was, you know, obviously we watch Netflix a lot anyway, so we're already paying $8 a month for that. My husband's an Amazon Prime member, so we had a Fire Stick. You get 40,000 TV shows and movies. So when I called, they offered immediately to cut my bill. And they cut my monthly service by I think it was, I saved like $750 a year.
Comcast is going to get a lot of calls today, Doreen.
Well, you know, Comcast understands that there's a lot of the other options out there for consumers.
You could also dangle DirecTV in front of them, too.
Well, you know, there are, like I said, many options, you know. And this is not just a problem Comcast is having, you know. It's not dissimilar to people realizing that these bills have gotten to be, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You know, your budget, you're bundling services with internet, TV, phone, and you end up paying a small mortgage every month to these companies.
And the network shows have so many commercials, they're almost unwatchable.
Well, there's that. But I mean, you can obviously subscribe to another service that I wrote about in that same column called Sling TV, which offers for $20 a month, 20 on-demand television stations that you can stream through your TV, through the internet, such as ESPN and some others. So again, more options. You know, the a la carte TV, the day is here, it's arrived, and the cable company understands that. But
I better start doing my homework.
I know, me too. Did you finish your Christmas shopping?
Actually, I finished my Christmas shopping in July.
Jeez. Oh, in July?
In July, yes.
Oh, God. Doreen Christensen, we can all learn something here. She's an award-winning senior columnist covering consumer lifestyle and entertainment topics for print and digital editions of the South Florida Sun Sentinel, the Orlando Sentinel, and City and Shore magazine. And she writes an award-winning Shop-O-Matic savings blog and produces Doreen's Deals, Sun Sentinel Originals video series. Thank you so much for being with us. Happy holidays to you.
Same to you both. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for coming back.
Food and Dining is next.
And welcome back to Thursday's Topical Currents.
Next Thursday's Thanksgiving.
Happened too quickly this year. But it's good. It's good. And Thursday's Food and Dining is always good. Linda Gassenheimer is all set for her annual Thanksgiving 101 program. Today she has an award-winning catering chef on hand. So we'll get turkey tips and foolproof advice for success. At least for those of us brave enough to put on the oven gloves or make a roux, right,
Bonnie's
going to
make a roux.
Right,
oh,
right.
Wow. Good for you, Bonnie.
Sure, Joe.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
Okay, it's Turkey Day next week. It's so hard to believe that. So let me share with you some of the questions I've received over the years. Can you really throw your turkey in the swimming pool to defrost it? Or do I really have to cook it upside down to keep the breast juicy? And more practical questions like, how big a turkey do I need for 20 people? And here's the important one. How do I prevent a turkey from drying out and tasting like sawdust?
Well, how about should that packet that's inside stay in during cooking?
Yeah, or whatever else is in there. So our guest today was going to solve all of these problems. She's Elgin Woodman. She's the corporate chef for A. Joy Wallace Caterer. And welcome, Chef Elgin.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Boy, she brought some things for
us. It's our pleasure to have you. You fill the studio with food. And we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any Thanksgiving Day questions for our chef? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
And email is radio@WLRN.org.
Okay, and also with us, our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype, and you can read Fred's wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes columns, and you can also read his wine column in the Saturday Miami Herald. Fred, are we having Thanksgiving wine?
Absolutely. Not surprisingly, I'm going to talk about what kind of wine to serve with all that tasty Thanksgiving food.
I have a suspicion.
Well, maybe.
A few bubbles here and there, but we'll see.
A few.
Okay, Chef Elgin Woodman, what's the mystique here? So many people tell me they're afraid to cook a turkey, and I've heard tips salting it overnight, soaking it in beer, or creating a tent for foil. Now, to tell us, what's the best and easiest way to roast our turkey?
Well, if it were to be me making the turkey...
And we'd all like you to do that, actually.
I do believe in brining the turkey, but I know that nowadays you buy a lot of these turkeys and they already come saturated with that salt water. So that's one. When you're buying your turkey, make sure that, you know, the salt content isn't that high so that you have control of the seasoning on your turkey. Also, I like making like a sage butter and putting in between the breast and the skin. So the actual breast, the meat actually picks up the flavor, not the skin of the turkey.
So, that's an idea. So you mix a little fresh sage into some butter.
Into some butter.
And then you carefully,
cold.
Carefully lift up the skin. And that's nice because then the fat drips off the skin.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it penetrates into the actual turkey meat.
Okay. So if I'm having 20 people... What size turkey should I buy?
Ooh. Well, normally I believe in the 1 pound per person. Depends on how many, you know, who you're inviting, how much they're eating, how much food you have. So you may want to even go as high as 2 pounds per turkey, but I think that might be already pushing it. You might have a lot of leftovers. And
best
I think that
part.
Depends too. If you want a lot of leftovers, then go for the 2 pounds. If you want exact, go for the 1 pound.
And then you just put it in the oven with a little stock in the bottom of the pan.
I like to cover it and just roast it slowly. I normally cook a turkey at 325 covered most of the time. And in the last 30 minutes, I'll take the foil out and just let it get that little nice golden color. And that will keep it nice and moist.
Well, that sounds delicious. Well, talk about delicious. We've got a lot of good food here. Mm-hmm. So tell us, what are we eating?
Well, I'll start with I brought a savory bread pudding just to get away from your classic stuffing. And it's pretty much just old bread. I use a baguette. And just with mushrooms, you make your basic custard of creams and eggs and maybe some garlic and onions. And then you just mix that with your bread and soak it. And then you can just lace it really with whatever. In this case, we did wild mushrooms and goat cheese and some baby arugula. And then you just bake it. And it's just more of like...
Makes it easier.
Yes, it makes it easier. You don't have to worry so much about the moisture. It's just okay, a two-step process.
I put that recipe. She gave you the recipe. That recipe's on my website, dinnerinminutes.com. So if you want to have a look at that recipe...
Now, wait a minute. Stuffing without sage?
No, you can put sage. This case, I did thyme, but...
You could do thyme and sage together.
Thyme and sage.
Okay.
You can make it whatever way, you know, whatever you like.
Okay.
We have Daniel in Palm Beach Gardens. Hello, Daniel. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to share with you something I've done over the years. It's really great, and I call it turkey a la rag. And I basically purchase a very absorbent rag, and I drape it over the turkey, and then with some juices, maybe orange juice or apricot juice, I will baste it every 20 or 30 minutes and keep that rag nice and moist. And that has helped me keep my turkey from drying up.
Well, that's very interesting. So he's serving a rag turkey.
Daniel, yeah, pretty much.
Thank you very much for that tip, Daniel.
Sure. Thank you. Bye-bye. Happy Thanksgiving.
And to you. So tell us, there's some very interesting, there's an empanada you've brought. Now, what's that?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, I was just thinking, what do you do the next day with your leftovers that are not your typical sandwich or everybody says a turkey pot pie? So what I did is just pretty much anything you have left over, your stuffing, your sweet potatoes, it could be mashed potatoes, your turkey. It's a great way to use the scraps that are stuck to the bone of the turkey.
The best part.
That nobody eats. Right. So you can just, all that, you just mix it together. And then if you have any leftover pie dough, if you bought those,
ready-made pie dough?
Ready-made pie dough. And then you just cut it and you stuff it and you egg wash it and bake it.
And how do you make that crimp in it for the empanada?
Oh, that's just master hands.
You just pinch it.
It's just pinched.
It's pinched. But you've got something on top that's floating on top of those empanadas.
Oh, we just, after the egg wash, I sprinkled it with a little bit of celery seeds and powdered sugar.
Well, Elgin, I have a non-turkey question. If I'm doing four casseroles in an oven on two different shelves, how do I control the time and the temperature and everything?
What do you mean on two different shelves?
Yeah.
On two different racks in the oven, I should say.
Okay. Because the temperature, basically temperature, the middle of the oven is 350, if that's what it is, and then there's 25 degrees up or down depending on the rack.
Well, I think it depends on what you're cooking, what you want to be in less hotter area, I guess, you put it in one part of the oven, and what's less temperature sensitive, you'll put it in the hotter portion of the oven. But I think I would ideally try to time things so that you're not in that situation versus trying to put everything in the oven that shouldn't really be cooked at the same temperature for the same amount of time.
And a convection oven makes it a constant temperature.
A convection oven is definitely
so
better.
Fred, what do you mean, like stuffing on one level and vegetables on another?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And do you have to switch them around halfway through the cooking?
It depends on what it is, I would think, Fred. You have to know that in an oven, the oven heats up from the bottom normally, and the heat goes to the roof of the oven, and it falls back down. So whatever's on the top shelf is going to be hotter, and you might want to cover it over because it might burn on the top. And if there's something on your middle shelf, the thing underneath it is being protected. So it's, yeah, I think switch it around and it depends on what you're cooking. Don't you think, Elgin?
Yeah, I agree.
But Elgin, are you saying that maybe he should cook them at different times?
At different times. I think the key is planning ahead and, you know, making sure that everything is cooked, and maybe you just want to flash something in the oven together, not necessarily cook it, not start from scratch cooking in the oven at the same time.
Okay, now let's go back to some more of the food that she's brought because it's so delicious. There are little squares, And I love the way you've served it. They're stuck on a toothpick into the, you've got it like a sweet potato. It's a wonderful way to present it.
Oh, I was just making it look a little bit more attractive. But, we just have little stands that we use for hors d'oeuvres in the catering. So we just presented the bread pudding as a taste for you on these little, like, stands, and we just put it on the butternut squash to make it fall.
Oh, that's butternut squash. I thought so. It's a cooked squash that's sitting like a boat.
Right.
And then you have a little stand in it, and on the top of that, you've got the food standing up in it. And it looks so pretty.
It creates more movement on the platter versus everything being flat.
And so you have different levels, different heights on a platter. Yes. That's wonderful. And then the other thing that Joe just ate, I thought was a great idea.
Sorry.
It was there.
It was there. Do you remember what it was?
Yes. That was a take on the classic Monte Cristo, which is a sandwich that is battered in egg and then pan-fried, almost like a French toast,
I guess would be the technique.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So instead of using bread, I grabbed the leftover bread stuffing and I pressed it to make it like a patty. And then I put turkey and cheese in the middle. And then I did another patty with the other leftover bread pudding. So I sandwiched it. Then.
So you made the bread pudding like
not bread
a sandwich.
Pudding, I'm sorry, the stuffing, bread stuffing.
The bread stuffing, you made it like a piece of bread.
Right, exactly. So that's it took the place of the bread, and then it got battered and pan-fried.
Elgin, talk about the receptacles that you have these things in, because they're so beautiful, and you say they're leaves.
Right, it's fallen pressed leaves are the little recyclable plates that I brought it in.
It's like a little cupcake size.
Yeah, beautiful.
Then they come in different sizes and shapes, plates and bowls. And so nowadays, there's a lot of recycled disposables out there that, you know, you could also buy for your Thanksgiving dinner. You don't have to worry about so much washing.
Which is a very nice thing to have. And so that sounds great. Well, we're going to take a short break here, and we're going to come back with some more tips.
And dessert.
I've got the dessert over here by me, and I'm watching you, Fred. Fred Tesk. I'm watching you. I should watch Fred as well, but I'm watching you, Joe Cooper. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. My guest today is Chef Elgin Woodman. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and our guest is A. Joy Wallace Caterer's corporate chef, Chef Elgin Woodman. She's been giving us some great tips for no-fuss Thanksgiving dinner. And here's a note. This weekend, I'll be talking about my latest books, Quick and Easy Chicken and Delicious One-Pot Dishes, at the Miami Book Fair this Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. I'll be talking about it. But on Sunday, I'm going to be cooking. And come and see me. I've got a cooking demonstration from 2 to 3 at the Miami Culinary Institute. And yes, there will be food to taste, so come and join me. But right now, another food tip, it's dinner in minutes time. And dinner in minutes today is going to be something you can use for leftover turkey, or if you happen to have fresh turkey in the house. Either way, is a turkey skillet casserole. And it's really perfect for leftovers. It's a one-pot dish. It has linguine in it. The linguine cooks right in the skillet with the other ingredients. You don't have to cook it in it. And Bonnie's looking at me like, is that really true? Yes, it is, Bonnie. And I also, as you know, I like to use frozen chopped onion, frozen chopped green bell pepper, because it saves on the cutting up time, the prep time. I just want the flavor. I'm not looking for the texture. So I saute the turkey, if I'm using fresh turkey, the onion, the green pepper in the skillet. I add pasta sauce. I add some water, some mushrooms, and the linguine. And bring it to a simmer, cover it, and let it cook on its own for a few minutes. Then I add some fresh spinach, a little basil, and just stir it until the spinach wilts. That's maybe a 5-10 minute dish. That's it. I sprinkle it with a little cheddar cheese. I top it with maybe some sour cream. And if you're going to use leftover turkey, then just add that at the end when the pasta's been cooked, so it'll warm in the sauce. The recipe is from my book, Delicious One-Pot Dishes, and the complete recipe and photo, it's at dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred Tasker, what are we drinking for Thanksgiving?
Well, you know, wine for Thanksgiving comes in three phases, I think. First, you have the welcoming wine. Then you have the dinner wine, and then maybe most important, you have wine for leftovers, like your turkey skillet casserole.
Okay.
So first you have the welcoming wine. I always like to hand each guest a glass of bubbly as they enter the home.
That's a surprise, Fred.
Isn't it? Well, you know, it's a nice gesture, and it goes well with the raw veggies and hummus that you're suffering through while they smell the rest of the sumptuous meal cooking. And
thank you,
now
Fred.
Scharfenberger of California makes a nice bubbly in the $20 range. That's a very nice thing to have. And second, wine for the meal. Now, you're not ever going to perfectly pair wine with every flavor when you're serving turkey, gravy, potatoes, yams, cranberry sauce, etc. So what is the answer? I chicken out, actually. I put out a bottle or two of white and a bottle or two of red and let people choose for themselves.
Not turkeying out, he's chickening out. Okay, that's right.
Yeah, turkeying out, okay.
Okay, good.
And for the white, I like a Trivento Chardonnay from Argentina. That's Trivento. That's nice because it is a multiple grape blend. It has Chardonnay, Viognier, and Pinot Grigio. So multiple flavors on the table, multiple grapes in the wine. Or if you want a red wine, the McManus Family Zinfandel from California is pretty good, and it's only $11. And then, of course, when the indulgent pumpkin and pecan pies come out, you can pour each guest a dessert wine.
You're still able to stand up or drink by then.
Well, this is all in moderation, as they always say, you know.
Okay, good.
You can pour a little glass of sweet port wine, maybe a Graham's 10-year-old tawny wine for about $30 a bottle. But just give them a little glass, just a little taste. You don't want to have too much. But now we come to the good part, wine for leftovers.
Okay.
To me, one of life's finest moments is when you stand in front of an open refrigerator at 4 a.m. the next day and pull chunks of turkey from the cold bird without even taking it out of the fridge. Now, that is bliss.
That's when it tastes the best, right?
Absolutely. Now, for this, the perfect wine, especially this year, is a red Beaujolais Nouveau. As you know, this is an extra fruity young wine that's the first wine released from this year's harvest in France. And as it happens today, this very day, the third Thursday in November, is its official release date. Now, I haven't tried it yet, but I'm hearing good things about it. So what I recommend is go out and buy one bottle of Beaujolais for Thanksgiving and one for right now to toast our solidarity with our friends, the French, in their time of trouble. And then just say, vive la France.
Absolutely. That's what we all say, vive la France. Mm-hmm. And good luck. Fred Thasker, thank you very much. And Fred, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, same to you.
Thanks.
Yes, friend.
So, Chef Algin, give us a game plan. Can we make anything in advance?
I think that's the key. When you're planning your Thanksgiving, think of the menu and think of anything that you can do. Trying to incorporate as many room temperature or cold items into your menu so that you're not last minute cooking everything and you're able to just like sit down and enjoy and just wait for the turkey to be ready.
So you can go shopping now, right?
Yes.
Don't wait till the last day.
I would definitely go shopping now. Have a game plan. Obviously, I work for a catering company. We're all very organized, so we have prep lists day by day, when we're going to prepare what, and just do that so that the day of, you're not stressing out.
Absolutely, and I think that's a good idea, is to make your lists. What can I buy today? What can I make and freeze? I mean, you can make your pies and freeze them for the most part. You could freeze the stuffing, couldn't you? Yes?
Yes, definitely.
And what about mashed potatoes? I mean, how far in advance can I make those?
I think the mashed potatoes, you can make them as soon as 2 to 3 days before Thanksgiving and just bring them up to temperature when you're ready.
But you know, I was not freezing them, though.
No, not freezing them, just in the refrigerator.
I was able to find a mashed potato recipe in a slow cooker, and can have it, keep it on warm for a couple hours as you're waiting for the rest of dinner to get done.
That's a great idea, actually.
Yeah, that's very good. So when you say bring it up to temperature, what did you mean?
Well, what I would do is I would have my mashed potatoes in my pot, and I would have a small pot on the side with just warm milk or cream. And then when that's hot, I would pour that into my mashed potatoes. That will warm it up a little bit, and you're not starting with the ice-cold mashed potatoes. And then just in a low temperature, you can stir it. Or you can also heat it up in a bain-marie or in a water bath. And that way you can just really walk away and not worry about it burning or drying. And it'll just like slowly
come up. And that's a good idea. But make sure the cream or the milk is warm.
Warm,
when it
yes.
goes in, not cold.
So right, then, warm. And then that way you're not starting from ice cold.
Okay. And what about our gravy? That's so annoying because you've got the turkey. And of course, you want the turkey to sit for 20 minutes at least before mm-hmm. you carve it. And then everybody's having a good time, and you're wandering around trying to make a gravy last minute. What can we do about that?
Start with the stock, and if you just make your gravy with stock, and you can make it ahead of time. You can use those pieces that come inside the turkey that should not be inside the turkey when you're baking it. That is what you use to make your stock and make your gravy. And then I would just thicken it up. While the turkey is cooking, you can just spoon some of the fat out of the pan and make a roux with that. And
now, what do you mean by a roux? Because we started the program with Bonnie making a roux. She has no idea what that is.
Oh, yes,
now, Linda, yes, I do.
What is a roux, Chef?
A roux is equal parts flour to butter. Or and fat just, in this case. And then you just warm them over the stove, and that's a thickening agent. And it's much better than cornstarch. Please do not use cornstarch to make your gravy.
But it gets goopy.
It's gross.
You have to cook the flour taste out of it. Right?
Yes, you cook off the flour taste.
I want everybody to know that while she's talking, you know she's a chef because she's stirring with her hands and she's making the whole meal with her hands while she's doing that. So that's very good. We only have about a minute left. Safety tips. What do we want to be careful of?
Mm-hmm. I think key, if you do want leftovers, you have to take care of your leftovers. You can't leave them out, throughout the evening. You have to make sure that you refrigerate it as soon as you can. Also, your defrosting of your turkey. You want to make sure you either defrost it in the refrigerator for 3 or 4 days, or if you do the I try to avoid the defrosting in the sink with the water. I find that to not be as sanitary. And then also the contamination of everything.
How about done temperature without having it dry?
I pull my turkey between 155 to 160, and I just can let it carry over cooking right. on its own.
I because think if you do wait for 165,
right,
yes.
you want it to be 165 when you go to serve it, not necessarily when you're pulling it out of the oven. At least that's the way I do it.
Don't rely on those pop-up thermometers that come inside the turkey.
I think best thing is that gadget, that thermometer that you can just see the temperature outside that you poke into the turkey, and it's outside of the oven because
there's an alarm. Yeah.
There is an alarm. You're looking at it. It's you don't have to be opening and closing the oven. So I think that's I would buy one
idea.
Of those.
Okay, don't leave all the food out on the counter for 2 hours
yes.
and then refrigerate it and then take it out the next day, leave another 4 hours.
Right, and then eat it 5 days later. Yeah,
exactly. Don't do it. It's been a really tasty week.
I just had some strawberry shortcake.
Oh, the dessert. Mm-hmm. Yes, she's got cornbread with the strawberries on
cornbread
it.
Cornbread with strawberries.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And lemon zest.
And Bonnie took all the whipped cream from me. She just took the whole thing
she
of whipped cream.
I didn't take it. You gave it to me.
I gave it to you, Bonnie, because I'm nice to you.
Use a little whipped cream.
Okay, yeah. Chef Elgin, thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me. Happy Thanksgiving.
She's corporate chef for A. Joy Wallace Caterer. She can be reached at ajwallace.com. I'd like to wish everyone a happy, happy, delicious Thanksgiving. We'll be back in 2 weeks with my annual favorite kitchen gadget program. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.
And that wraps up today's program. We hope you heard some useful tips on shopping and entertaining during the hour. It was produced by Richard Ive. Technical direction provided by online producer Paul Leary. As always, we have free audio downloads of this and previous programs at our website, WLRN.org. So join us for Monday's program when Bonnie and I visit with South Florida icon weather personality, Brian Norcross. He's now the senior hurricane specialist at the Weather Channel. Many fondly remember him on Channel 4, talking South Florida through the landing of Hurricane Andrew. Bonnie, how time flies. That was 23 years ago.
Hard to imagine. We want to also say goodbye to Fred because...
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Fred.
Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, Fred Tasker, Linda Gassenheimer. Thanks for listening. Here and Now is next.